Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Welcome to all my pure-blooded white Christian brothers and sisters out there. The people of Israel, Yahweh's true chosen people. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is the show for Thursday, November the 10th, 2016. We're in the book of Judges, that is Shofetim in the Hebrew. Chapter 4, we had just finished up with Yael, the wife of Kabar, driving a tent peg through the temples of Sisera. And he was the commanding general of the armies of the Canaanites. And Israel then subdued Yabin, the king of Canaan, and they were pretty harsh after the domination of the Canaanites. They treated them rather harshly. So we're going to get into chapter 5 here today. This is the Song of Deborah, which is about all this that occurred in the prior chapters here with the war against Canaan. Okay, get the morning frog out there. I have a bronchial problem, so I have to mute every so often to cough. I apologize for that, but that's just how it is in my life at this age. And I have to make do the best I can. And then let's get into the book of Judges chapter 5, the Song of Deborah, verse 1. Then sang, 7891, Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, "7891 is from the Hebrew shir, S-H-I-Y-R, to sing, and here is watashar, as past tense, they sang. Here is the song, starting in verse 2. Bless Yahweh for the leading, 6544, the leaders, 6546, of Israel, when the people willingly offered, 5068, themselves. Now, this was put to music back then in the Hebrew. We do not have the tune, but this is like the song of Moshe and the song of Miriam. They sang this. It was more of a chant than anything else. Verse 3. Hear, O you kings, give ear, 238, O you potentates, 7336, that is Razanim, that is the plural from Razan, the potentates. I will sing to Yahweh, 7891 again. I will sing praises to Yahweh, Elohim of Israel. And sing praises is number 2167, Zamar. Verse 4, Yahweh, when you went forth from Seir, When you marched 6805 from the field of Edom, the land trembled, 7493, and the skies dripped, 5197, that is Natafu, and trembled is 7493, and the skies dripped, the clouds also dripped water. Verse 5, the mountains melted from the presence of Yahweh, that Sinai, 5514, from the presence of Yahweh Elohim of Israel, speaking of Mount Sinai. And verse 5, you can reference the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 18. And proceeding on in chapter 5 here. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Yael, speaking of the lady that drove the tent peg through Sisera's head, in the days of Yael, the highways, 734, ceased to be, 2308, and the walkers of the paths, 5410, walked through winding, 6128, paths, 734. Verse 7, Perazon, 6520, ceased to be. Now that 6520, the meaning is not clear. It has the connotation of leaders in context with the rest of the verses. It is listed as it has a capital P, but that's because it begins a paragraph. So it would be more than likely be leaders, but I'm not gonna etch that in stone because it's a little muddied right here. So I'll just read the verse. Perazon ceased to be. They ceased to be in Israel until that Deborah arose, O mother in Israel. Okay, Deborah was a judge, a leader, a female leader. Okay, so the meaning of Perazon tied to this leads to leaders. All right, here verse 8, I need to explain something in verse 8. They chose new Elohim at that time, 227, with war, 3901, at the gates. Was a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? All right, here's Elohim used as judges. They chose new judges or leaders. And that's going to come to play in the book of Ruth also, that will follow the book of Judges. Okay? Elohim doesn't always mean divine being. It, with a small e, it can mean judges or magistrates, mighty ones, small g gods. It has a multiplicity of usages. And it can apply, because this is the book of Judges, to judges. It also means judges and magistrates. So remember that when we get into the book of Ruth. I will reiterate that, because there's a passage in Ruth that they have mistranslated. And we'll get into that when I finish the book of Judges. Verse 9. Actually, let's go back to verse 8. 3901 with war, 3901, that is Lachem, and that is as from 3898 Laham. And the text and the meaning is dubious, and that is the only use in Scripture of 3901. Right here. This is the only time that word is ever used in that context. Verse 9. My heart is with those who decree, 2710, in Israel. Now that 2710 is as leaders. In other words, she's saying, my heart is with the leaders in Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless Yahweh. They volunteered to go fight the Canaanites to free Israel. Verse 10. Talk of it, 7878, that's one word in Hebrew. Talk of it, you who ride on white asses, you that sit upon carpets, 4055, and walkers upon the ways. Verse 11. From the noise of Mehatzim, 2686. Now the King James has archers, but the meaning of Mehatzim has been lost. It is unclear. So I put the word Mehatzim in Hebrew because we don't know exactly what it means. And they just inserted archers in the King James. Now that's the habit that they had. If they didn't know a word, they just made something up. And they should say that we don't know what this word is. Well, I do that. I note that. We don't know what Mehatzim is. From the noise of Mehatzim in the drawing place, 4857, that is Mashab. And that is clear. That is a drawing place of water. And its only use in Scripture is here. So we've had two words in rapid succession that are only used in this book one time in Scripture. They shall recount, 8567, the righteous acts of Yahweh, the righteous acts of Perazon, 6520 again, in Israel. Now that would be the leaders, if that is exactly what that means. So Perazon, the definitions have sort of been muddied and lost a little bit, but in context, it would be accurate to translate that as leaders. So we'll just leave that hanging. Keep leaders in your mind. I put Perazon because it's not etched in stone in a lexicon about definitions. The righteous acts of Perazon in Israel. Then the people of Yahweh went down to the gates. Now let's take a break here for a second on verse 11. Now, this is my view. This is only my opinion. This isn't etched in stone. I'm going to give you my opinion, and I'm going to state it is my opinion only. On verse 11, armed men gathered at watering places, and they talked of Yahweh's righteous acts and the acts of righteous leaders, and then they marched to the gates, ready for battle against their oppressors. Now that's my take on verse 11. Okay, that's what I think they are speaking of. You can take that or leave that as you please. But I wanted to put my opinion in there, but I wanted to label it as my opinion only. Verse 12. Awake, 5782. Awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, sing a song, arise, Barak, and lead your captives into captivity, O son of Abinoam. Okay, that's who Barak was. He was the leader of the armies. Okay. Verse 13. At that time, the survivors, 8,300, had dominion, 7,287, over the nobility, 117, among the people. Yahweh made me have dominion over the mighty, 1368. Verse 14. From Ephraim, a root, 8,328, against Amalek. After you, Binyamin, that's Benjamin, among your people, from Machir, 4,353, that was one of the sons of Manasseh, came down those who enact law, 27,10. Now, that is Mekokim, and Kok is ordinances and law. And that would be taken as commanders here. And continuing on, and from Zebulun, those that march, 4,900, with the staff, 7,626, of the muster officer. Now that's one word, and that's 5,608. And a staff is a symbol of authority. And a muster officer is one who brings troops to order. Okay, a unit commander, like that. Verse 15. And the chiefs, 8,269, of Issachar, 3,485, were with Deborah. Issachar and Barak were sent on foot into the valley. In the divisions, 6,391, of Reuben, were great resolves of mind. Resolves of is 27,11, and mind is 38,20. They had their mind set for battle, in other words. Verse 16. For what reason do you abide among the ash heaps, 4,942? Now, 4,942 is Hamas Pethayim, and those are the village fireplaces in the encampments. Why are you sitting around a campfire? Okay. For what reason do you abide among the ash heaps to listen to the pipings, 8,292, for the flocks? For what reason do you abide among the ash heaps to listen to the pipings for the flocks? And the pipings were signals for controlling flocks. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. 2,714 searchings of heart. They're searching their hearts to see if they should go down for war. Okay, verse 17. Gilead settled down, 7,931, beyond the Arden. And here 7,931 in context is as remained. And for what reason did Dan stay, 1,481, in their ships? Asher tarried, 3,427, on the seashore and settled down in their landing places, 4,664. This is a rebuke for for the people that didn't go down to fight with them. They were wondering whether they should go to war with the rest of them, because there was only a limited amount of the people that went to war. Okay, verse 18. Zebulun and Naphtali were people that scorned 2778. Their lives, 5315, unto death, 4191, and high, 4791, open country, 7704. Verse 19. The kings came to two battle, 3898. Then the kings of Canaan did battle in Tanakh, 8590, by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain, 1215, of silver, 3701. And gain is betza, and that is gain by violence. In other words, they didn't get any plunder. Verse 20. They did battle from the sky, 8064. The stars, 3556, from their courses, 4546, did battle against Sisera. And courses is 4546. That's Megillah. And it's literally highway. And it's figuratively used here. In other words, even the stars of the sky did battle against Sisera. This is all poetic. This is not necessarily literal. This is a song, a poetry song. You have to remember that. This is not a literal recounting of the battle. Verse 21, the torrent, 5158, of Kishon swept them away. That's one word, swept them away, 1640. That's a torrent of water from the book Kishon. That torrent of antiquity, 6917, the torrent Kishon. Antiquity is Kedumim, and swept them away is Garof. That's originally shovel to scoop up. Okay, the torrent of Kishon swept them away. It just scooped them up, and a torrent of antiquity, an old torrent, the torrent Kishon. That was a mighty, mighty brook, a big, almost a river that went through there. O my soul, 5315, here used as soul. It can be used as person, body, being, soul. March 4th, 1869, in strength, 5797. Verse 22. Then the horse's hooves struck down from the furious dashings of their mighty ones. Furious dashings is 1726 doubled for an emphatics. Verse 23, curse 779 miraz. 4789, said the messenger of Yahweh, that's a divine messenger, Malach. Curse bitterly, 779 doubled, as an emphatic, the inhabitants of it, because they did not come to help, 5833, Yahweh, to help Yahweh against the mighty, 1368. It's another rebuke in this song. Verse 24. Blessed of women shall be Yael, the wife of Keber, the Caney. Blessed of women in tents. He was a Kenizzite. Okay. And she is the one that stuck the tent peg through Sisera's head. Remember? She's the one that killed him. That Yael. Deborah had prophesied that he would be struck down by a woman, not the armies. Well, the armies beat his armies, and he fled, and he stayed in that tent, and Yael drove a tent stake through his head while he laid and slept. He just passed out from exhaustion. Well, that was it for him. Verse 25 of chapter 5, he asked water. She gave milk. She brought forth curds, 2529, sort of like cottage cheese, and a majestic, 117, bowl, 5602. This is all flowery poetry here. She just gave him a bowl of cottage cheese and some milk. Pardon me. Verse 26, she sent forth, 7971, her hand to the tent peg, and her right hand to the workman's, 6001, hammer, 1989. And she struck down, 1986, Sisera. She utterly destroyed, 4277, his head, when she smote through 4272 Makok and pierced 2498 his temples. That's, she got this in the psalm. Verse 27. At her feet he bowed 3766. This is highly poetic. He fell 5307. He lay down, 7901. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down, violently destroyed. One word, 7703. And bowed down, 3766, bowed down in death. That's kara. And violently destroyed, 7703, is Shaddad. Very, very poetic verse. This is not to be taken literally. This is a song, a poetic song. Verse 28. The mother of Sisera looked through a window and cried through the lattice, on what account is his ward chariot 7393 delayed 954 in coming? What holds back 309 the hoofbeats 6471 of his war chariot 4818? Now remember, he jumped, the chariots got all tangled up and he jumped down and fled on foot. Okay, the first war chariot in that verse is 7393, and that is Rechab. And war chariot 4818 is Merakaba. That's an offshoot from Rechab. Verse 29, her wise princesses. Wise is 2450, and princesses 8282 answered her. Yea, she returned her words 561 to herself. Verse 30. Have they not found and divided the spoil 7998? To each man, two women, 7356, doubled. To Sisera, a spoil of dyed work, 6648. A spoil of dyed work of variegated colors, 7553. Dyed work of variegated colors for the necks, 6677 of the spoilers. They found all of Sisera's spoil, all his plunder that he had taken, and Israel confiscated it. Verse 31, so may all your hated enemies perish. And perish is 6 in your concordance, O Yahweh. But those that love him be as the sun going forth in his might. I'm talking about loving Yahweh. And the land had peace 40 years. That was the end of the song. The sun going forth in his might. And the land had peace 40 years. And that's the ending of the story of Deborah. Okay. A lot of the words in chapter 5 are figurative, not literal. Hebrew poetry is not like our modern English poetry. It had a cadence to it when sung in Hebrew, and the beginning word and the ending word often had a connection between the verses. It's very complicated in form and space. I don't have enough time to explain all the methods of their writing. They did not write like we write today at all. Our method of storytelling and writings have changed because this was all written in Hebrew, which is our language, not the language of the Jews. It is our language. We have a new language now, which basically is English, and that's what we're translating here. Now I'm going to get into chapter 6, and it's 40 verses. I'm going to try to get all of it done. I may or may not be able to get into this because it's starting the story of Gideon. He is the judge number 5 in the order. And if I don't get all of chapter 6 done, I'll continue it and complete it tomorrow. So we'll just delve into it and do the best we can today. Verse 1 of chapter 6. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and Yahweh gave them into the hand of Midian 40-80 for 7 years. See, they did right after Deborah, and now they've lapsed back into evil, and now they've been sold into servitude again, being punished. Just over and over and over. It's all through here. Verse 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midiani. The children of Israel made themselves hollowed out places. 4492, that is Haminiharoth. In other words, they carved out caves, made themselves hollowed out places which were in the mountains and in caves, 4631, and strongholds, 4679. Now, caves is different than the hollowed out places. Those were hollowed out places were dug out of the mountain. Caves are a natural occurrence. Verse 3, and it was when Israel had sown, they just planted their crops, that the Midiani came up with the Amaleki, the Amalekites, and the children of Kedan, 6924, Q-E-D-E-N, came up against them. Verse 4, and they encamped against them and destroyed the crops, 2981, of the land, until you come to Azza 5804, pardon me, and left no sustenance, 4241, for Israel, no sheep or ox or ass. And Azza is Gaza with a G today, the Gaza Strip. Verse 5, because they came up with their livestock and their tents, and they came as locusts, 697, in multitude, like a swarm of locusts. Both they and their camels, 1581, were without number. And they came into the land and ruined it, 7843, ruined it. And camels is gamal. We call it camel. Well, it's gamal. See the similarity? The English word comes from the Hebrew word. Verse 6, and Israel was greatly brought low, 1809, from the presence of the Midiani. And the children of Israel cried out to Yahweh. Every time they got in trouble, they cried out to Yahweh to bail them out. They did evil. But they had to call on Yahweh to save them again. Okay, verse 7 tells about them crying. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to Yahweh because of the Midiani, verse 8, that Yahweh sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, thus says Yahweh Elohim of Israel, I brought you up from Mitzrayim and brought you forth from the house of bondage, and I delivered you from the hand of Mitzrayim and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out, 1644, from before you, and gave you their land. Did that. Verse 10. And I said to you, I am Yahweh your Elohim. Do not fear the Elohim of the Amori, 5, 6, 7, the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Verse 11. And there came a messenger of Yahweh who sat under the terebinth, 424, the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, 6084, that belonged to Yoash, 3101, the Abi Ha'ezri, the Abi Ezrite, the number 33, and his son Gideon, 1439, threshed wheat by the wine press, 1660, to hide it from the face of the Midiani, because they were destroying all the food, and if they saw him with the threshing wheat, they would have confiscated it and destroyed it. Verse 12, and the messenger of Yahweh appeared to him and said to him, Yahweh is with you, O mighty man, 1368, of valor, 2428. He's speaking to Gideon. Verse 13, and Gideon said to him, O my Lord, 113, if Yahweh is with us, why has all this befallen us? Where are all his wondrous deeds, 6381, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not Yahweh bring us up from Mitzrayim? But now Yahweh has abandoned us, that's 5203, and gave us into the hand of Midian. Now I need to explain this verse. Remember when Yahweh said, I will be what I will be? Well, he manifested himself in many, many ways. and pardon me again. And Yahweh turned 6437. Okay, this was a manifestation of Yahweh in the form of the divine messenger, and said, go in this strength of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianite. Have I not sent you? Okay, verse 15. And he replied to him, O Yahweh. All right, right here I'll stop, because in verse 15, this was altered by the scribes to Lord. But if you read in the Hebrew, it's Yahweh. Okay, they altered it, and it was originally Yahweh. And he replied to him, O Yahweh, by what means shall I save Israel? Behold, my family, 505, is poor in Manasseh. That's the territory of Manasseh. And I am the youngest, 6810, in my father's house. He's the youngest son. Verse 16, and Yahweh said to him, through this messenger, surely I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianite as one man. All right, he was going to get all Israel together and smite the Midianites, because Yahweh was going to make it happen. Verse 17, and he replied to him, if now I have found favor, 2580, in your sight, then show a sign that you speak with me. Verse 18, do not depart, 4185, from here, please, until I come to you, and bring forth my present, 4503, and set it before you. And that word present, 4503, is mincha. And that is the same word as a grain offering of sacrifice. But it's in different context here, because they didn't have the worship site. And he replied, I will wait until you return. Verse 19, and Gideon went in and prepared a kid, 1423, of she-goats, 5795, and matzah, 4682, of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth, 4839, in a pot, 6517, and he brought it forth to him under the terebinth tree, and brought it near. Verse 20. And the messenger of Elohim said to him, take the flesh and the matzah, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Verse 21. Then the messenger of Yahweh put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the matzah, and fire rose up from the rock and consumed the flesh and the matzah. Then the messenger of Yahweh departed from his sight. Poof, he was gone. Fire came up from the rock. He wanted a sign. Well, that was a sign. Verse 22. And when Gideon saw that he was a messenger of Yahweh, Gideon said, alas, 162, O Lord, 136, that's Adonai, Yahweh, for I have seen a messenger of Yahweh face to face. He was scared he was going to be destroyed. Verse 23, and Yahweh said to him, he spoke to him in his mind, peace be unto you. 7965, shalom. Do not fear, you shall not die. Verse 24, then Gideon built an altar there to Yahweh and called it Yahweh Shalom, 3073. That's Yahweh's peace, or the peace of Yahweh. And it is there to this day an Ophrah of the Abihezri. Okay. Verse 25. Now they were Baal worshippers and they had altars all over the place. The evil that they were doing, which is why they were being punished, because they went into Baal worship. It's not Baal, it's Baal. Verse 25, and it came to pass the same night that Yahweh said to him, take your father's young bull and a second bull of 7 years and throw down, 2040, the altar of Baal, 1168, that your father has. His father had an altar to Baal. And cut down, 3772, the Asherah pole, 842, that's a carved pole to the goddess of fertility, Asherah, that is by it. She's also known as Ishtar, from where we get Ishtar Sunday, Easter. That's a pagan holiday. Verse 26, and build an altar to Yahweh your Elohim upon the place of safety, 4581, in the prepared place, 4634, and take the second bull and offer, 5927, that means send up a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the Asherah pole, which you shall cut down. And that's 5927 is in the ascent of the smoke ascending. It send up a burnt sacrifice. Verse 27, then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as Yahweh has said to him, and it was because he feared his father's household. He was going to go against his father and tear down his father's altar. He feared his father's household and the men of the city. They were Baal worshipers. That's why they were being punished by Yahweh, but he called the son of a Baal worshiper to rescue Israel. He feared his father's household and the men of the city, so that he did not by day, but did by night. Verse 28. The men of the city rose early in the morning and beheld that the altar of Baal was torn down and the Asherah pole was cut down that was by it. And the second bull was offered upon the altar that was built. He just tore down that altar and he built an altar to Yahweh. And Yahweh cleansed the stones. Verse 29, and they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they had inquired and sought, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. The men of the city said to Joash, bring forth your son for death, because he tore down the altar of Baal and because he cut down the Asherah pole that was by it. verse 31. And Joash said to all that stood against him, will you contend, 7:3, 7:8, for Baal? Will you save him? He that will contend for him, let him be put to death while it is still morning. If he is an Elohim, a mighty one, small g God, this is small e Elohim, let him contend for himself because his altar is torn down. And to contend is yareb, as to take one's part. And the second use is yareb, same thing. So in other words, if he's really a god, let him fight for himself. Verse 32, on that day he called him, and speaking of Gideon, Yerubbaal, 3:3, 7:8, saying, let Baal contend against him because he tore down his altar. And Yerubbaal, 3:3, 7:8, means let Baal contend. In other words, let him fight for himself. Okay. I might be able to finish this. Verse 33. All the Midiani, Amaleki, and the children of Kedem, 6:9, 2:4, the children of the east, gathered together and passed over and encamped in the valley of Yisrael. 3:1, 5:7. Verse 34, the Spirit of Yahweh clothed itself, 3:8, 4:7, with Gideon. The Holy Spirit manifested itself in Gideon. And he blew, 8:6, 2:8, a shofar, 7:7, 8:2. And Abiezer, 44, that's the people of Abiezer, was assembled after him. In other words, all the men of the country came out to follow him. Verse 35, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, 4:5, 1:9, who also assembled after him, and he sent messengers to Asher and Zebulun and to Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. In other words, all the tribes were together and they were going to fight. Verse 36, and Gideon said to Elohim, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I will put a fleece, 14:92, of wool, 6:7, 8:5, in the threshing floor, 16:37, if the dew, 2:9, 1:9, is only on the fleece, and dry, 2:7, 2:1, upon all the ground, 7:7, 6, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you had said. Verse 38, and it was so. He rose up early in the morning and squeezed, 21:15, the fleece together, and wrung, 4:6, 8:0, the dew from the fleece, a bowl, 5:6, 0:2, full, 4:3, 9:2, of water. Verse 39, and Gideon said to Elohim, let not your anger be kindled against me, and I will speak but this once, 6:4, 7:1, let me test, 5:2, 5:4, please, 4:9, 9:4, but this once with the fleece. Let it be dry only upon the fleece and all the ground, and upon all the ground let there be dew. Verse 40, and Elohim did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew upon all the ground. Now Gideon was not doubting Yahweh, but he doubted his own ability to do what was ahead, and he he needed reassurance psychologically. That ends chapter 6. You can see with the Baal worship why Yahweh was angry with Israel, and his direct command to tear down the altar of Baal and to chop down that Asherah pole, the carved image of the fertility goddess, and use that wood to send up a sacrifice upon a newly built altar to Yahweh showed that Yahweh was really angry over Baal and was sending a message to Israel right there. Well, they all relented and came behind Gideon, and even Gideon's father, who was also a Baal worshiper, said, well, if Baal's really a god, let him punish Gideon. You know, what's your problem? If he's real, let him come down here and deal with it. And of course, nothing happened, because Baal is not real. It's not happening. Sorry. So, he is getting all the troops assembled to do battle against the enemies of Israel. He's going to use Gideon as a judge. And we're going to get into that in chapter 7 tomorrow. So I did get this done. And I didn't think I'd have enough time to do all these verses. But there's a lot of hidden meaning in a lot of this stuff. And the reinforcement of Gideon's courage by Yahweh with this fleece business, for one thing. He wasn't trying to test Yahweh to see if Yahweh had the power. He doubted himself, not Yahweh. So, things are going to get hot and heavy in the next couple of chapters, because Gideon, you all know a lot of the story of Gideon and the big battle. With only so many men, he sent a lot of the men away so Yahweh would get the glory. Instead of the army of Israel, Yahweh was going to do the fighting, and the story was that Yahweh smote the enemy. That's the reason for the reduced number, a very little number of troops going out to fight. So that's all coming up here. And he is going to use the son of a Baal worshiper to smite the enemy. Yahweh uses people that are very, very unlikely to his glory. So we're just about out of time here for today. I will be back tomorrow's Friday, and I will be doing chapter 7 and chapter 8 tomorrow as we progress through the book of Judges here. So Yahweh will fight with us in the modern days if we trust in him and pray to him and submit to him and keep his feasts and his commandments. In the time of Jacob's trouble, we need to have faith, and we're going to need more faith in the time of tribulation that will be coming up soon. So praise Yahweh and praise Yeshua, our kinsman redeemer. And shalom aleichem, peace be unto you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Yahweh bless.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus, going.